Rock, sport and talk.
This is Radio City Talk.
You're listening to Talking Tram here on Radio City Talk. My name's Matt Jones and I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by Matty Horton and former Tranmere defender Danny Holmes. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you both in. Danny, we're going to talk about your academy and Connors Key as well later on in the show because, of course, it's been a very busy summer for you with European football and all that. But I just want to start by something that we touched on last week and actually finished the show on was talking about Bury. Because Tranmere didn't have a game last Saturday due to play Bury and that one never happened. Unfortunately, Bury have now had their place in the EFL withdrawn by the Football League. Thoughts on it, first of all, guys? Let's let you start, Danny.
Well, for me, to see a club go out of existence now, really, it's a horrible thing to see. And I think if it was going to happen to your club, you'd be absolutely devastated. So it's one of them. They have overspent and they should get the hand slapped for that. But I think the Football League, personally, should obviously be aware of that and shouldn't let that happen. But for me to see a club go out of existence now and have to start again, it's pretty sad.
It's a sad day, Matt, for football, for North West football. You know, Bolton also have got financial problems and could potentially go the same way. You know, I spoke to you yesterday. It's the knock-on effect of the of what happens to the community and the local shops and the pubs who rely on that passing traffic at Gig Lane that are going to struggle now and potentially lose their businesses as a result of maybe one man or a group of people running a football club, you know, into the ground. Essentially, it's a sad day. And you know, I noticed that Accrington tweeted out from their account yesterday that it happened to them, they're back in the Football League, and hopefully Bury can go the same way, but it'll be a long road back, you know. And it's where they start now as well, where they apply to play.
Well, it's an odd situation, isn't it? Because they haven't actually gone out of business. They haven't been liquidated or anything like that. They've just been told they can't play in the Football League. So is there going to be a Phoenix club that starts further down the line, or will the current club get bought out and they have to start in the North West Counties? It could be a couple of options.
I think, especially with the fans, the way they've reacted to it, I think they would like to go their own way and maybe start something up. But I think, obviously, going to Tranmere's point of view as well, it would have been a big gate playing against them. And also Bolton, you do want that rivalry in football, because when we used to play away at Bury, you knew Tranmere fans would come in numbers as well. So looking at that point of view towards Tranmere as well, their gates are going to be, they're not going to get as big gates, are they, if someone else was going to come, if it was local rivalry. So I think it affects a lot of clubs as well. So I think it's devastating, like, to be honest.
Let's talk about it from a Tranmere point of view then, because there are two situations in the not-too-distant past to talk about regarding Bury and Tranmere. There is, most recently, April of this year, when Bury came to Prenton Park, they needed a point to secure promotion. Tranmere at that point could still have got automatic promotion, but unfortunately the game ended in a 1-1 draw, and Bury then seal a top three spot and they go up to League One. Haven't even been able to play a game in League One this season. And then, going back to 2015, there's a game at Prenton Park, the final day of the 2014-15 season, the final game Tranmere play in the Football League before they're relegated. Rovers have already gone down by this point, but they lose 1-0. It's enough to get Bury promoted into League One. They're subsequently relegated, but their fans are obviously over the moon, and they go up and Tranmere go down. Now, you, I think, were injured at the back end of this season,
yeah,
weren't you?
Sure,
so
yeah.
You weren't playing. You'd played against Oxford a couple of weeks before, but you've missed the Plymouth game and you've missed this one. So how aware of you, or of their situation, were you going into this?
I think we were well aware, but it's one of them, really. I think going back to this season as well with them, well, last season, sorry, that the clubs that potentially could have got promoted as well, it's not, obviously, Tranmere, obviously, they're brilliant at Wembley in the end and got promoted, so it's not too bad, but the other clubs like Newport and
Mansfield finished fourth,
exactly,
didn't they?
Yeah, and Mansfield as well. And for those type of clubs, they could potentially be in League One, getting bigger gates, playing against better teams as well. So, to be fair, it does drive me mad. Like, I will go back to the Football League personally, mate, because they've overseen it. I know Bury have obviously been terrible, spending far too much money than what they should have, but over the years, it's most probably they've been playing catch up, and obviously they finally bit the bullet, really. So it's one of them. We need to try and as a football community and as a, the FA, the Football League, they need to be aware of this now. And for it to happen to again, like Matt said, reverting to back to businesses and stuff like that when you go to the games, it will have a massive effect on the community. So it needs to be sorted out because it's not just going to affect football, it's going to affect people's lives, which it has done.
It certainly is partly down to the EFL, isn't it? They've allowed an owner to take over and basically run riot with a club and run them ragged. But also, the club has been badly run for a few years. So there is partial blame in a number of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. There is. Whoever sanctions the contracts has got some answers. You know, whoever's dealing these big lucrative contracts out, they need to be answerable. The Football League need to be answerable as to why they've allowed somebody like Steve Dale to buy a club and subsequently run a club. The blame doesn't fall on one party here, Matt. It's a number of people. If I was a Bury fan, I'd want answers from a number of people as to why this has happened.
This is Radio City Talk.
Let's focus a bit on you in this part, Danny, because obviously we talk about you as a former Tranmere player and you had a pretty decent time of things as a pro, but now you're a coach, still playing part-time in the Welsh Prem, but now you're a coach and you've developed a pretty strong academy.
Yeah, we have, because I think, obviously, with Tranmere's academy obviously stopping, there was a bit of a gap in the market because I'm really passionate about the talent on the Wirral. I think, obviously, in the Northwest, Liverpool, the talent in Liverpool is obviously very high. But obviously, being from the Wirral, I was aware of the talent that was there. And I think sometimes it does get overlooked. So I wanted to obviously try and do something, give the kids a bit of a platform. And we've managed to do that now, and we've been doing really well. So everything's been going great, but it's been non-stop, really, to be honest with you. Every hour of every day, my phone's going. I'm always busy coaching or playing, but it's what I've always wanted to do, be a part of football, and it's always been my life. So, I'm absolutely over the moon how it's started.
And you talk about always wanting to be a part of football, and you were kind of a late developer in the professional game. I think that would be fair to say, because you started as a pro at Tranmere, never really got your chance, and then had to go to the Welsh Prem before coming back to full-time football.
Yeah, it was, because especially when I was younger, I think, obviously, within Tranmere, I was a bit, I won't call myself a hot prospect, but that's what they were touting me as, and Brian Little was the manager at the time, and any school holiday, I was only 15 at the time, I was always training with the first team. So I obviously, as a young lad, I always thought this is what I was going to do. Then obviously with the turnaround with Ronnie Moore coming in, he sort of went for a more experienced lineup, and I sort of got not shoved away, but I went with the youth team mainly instead of being predominantly with the first team. So for me as a young lad, I had to obviously get my head around that. And to be fair, me as a lad anyway, I'll always keep working hard no matter what. But I got a 2-year pro off, well, after me YT, and it didn't obviously work out. Then I had a one appearance, I think, against Yeovil, which I've also played really well in.
You won man of the match, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. So I was obviously, me being, I'm one of them, if you perform, I think you should stay in the team no matter what. But it wasn't to be. I had to go away. I played for TNS for a couple of years, and I did really well in European games, which obviously got me noticed by Football League clubs again. And Les Parry obviously wanted to bring me back after the first year, but I had complications with my contract with TNS, which I was obviously devastated about at the time. But he was lucky enough that Les was still there the next year, and he brought me back. And I had obviously some great times playing for Tranmere, and obviously not so good. But overall, playing for your hometown team is amazing, and the memories will never get took away from me, really. So, I had some fond memories in the end.
Well, you come back in, as you've mentioned, and you played well over 100 games, I think it was, for Tranmere in the end. And then you end up at York and Newport as well. That time that you had at TNS and that time still trying to make it as a pro in England, did that make you hungrier, and does it still make you hungry now?
Yeah, it does. Because, to be fair, when I'm coaching now, I obviously see the younger players coming through, and every lesson that I've learned over my football career, I think, is helping me now with my coaching. So even though at the time it was a bit hard for me, I think in a way it's been a positive, because now I can help other people that are in the same situation as me when I was younger. So it's one of them. I'm quite a positive person anyway, so even if I do get a setback, I tend to come back fighting, really. So and that's what I end up doing. So any decision that I've made, I've never had any regret over. So it was just one of them, really, yeah.
And you had a great relationship with the Tranmere fans. I think Matt would agree with that, I'm sure. But it was kind of watching you play or watching any young lad come through who supports the club, the same with a Trent Alexander-Arnold at Liverpool or a Tom Davis at Everton. You're kind of living the dream of every fan who's watching you and willing you on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I used to go to every game when I was younger because my two brothers were part of Tranmere as well. So they used to get free tickets, which was handy for me. So I used to go all to all the games. And then obviously that first time coming out of Brent Park was pretty special against Bury. It's funny enough against Bury as well. But yeah, it was one of them. All my family was there. Well, quite a lot of my family is stewards at Tranmere as well. So the big supporters of the club, and even all my mates, quite a lot of them are season ticket holders at Liverpool, which I give them stick about. Like, but whenever they haven't got a Liverpool game, they do tend to come to a Tranmere game. So I had quite a lot of people there, and it was a special moment.
So now you've got the academy, and it's just going from strength to strength, isn't it? And yeah. I see your Instagram, and I see the company's Instagram regularly, and the amount of kids that you've got coming through the doors is amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I think obviously being at Tranmere has helped me in that situation. But
so you did some coaching, didn't you, at Tranmere too?
Yeah, I was. I took the under-9s at the time. We had some really top players, and they ended up getting bought by the likes of Liverpool. We had Jason Kumas, lad Lewis Kumas, who's flying out Liverpool at the minute. Alan Rogers' son, Jack, who's a brilliant player. There's another player called Nathan Giblin, he's in Lewis Kumas' team at Liverpool now. So we had some really top talent, and it was good for me to go with that group straight away. But yeah, it's always something I've wanted to do. I got my UEFA B when I was 20, 21, so that's the path I want to go down. And to be honest, I do want to become a manager. That's what I'm building myself towards now. So hopefully one day it could be at Tranmere. That's obviously a goal that I've set myself. So maybe one day, you never know, but that's the path I'm going for.
Already a manager?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Even when I was younger, I've always been one to voice my opinion in the change room. I think that's the way inclined I am with football. Any other subject, if you talk to me about anything, I'm terrible in conversation about, but if it comes to football, playing, coaching, you most surely won't shut me up. So, yeah, I think I've always gained respect from the players I've played with, and even players I've played against as well. So it's something I'm really, really keen on, and I'm going to work hard to get to.
And you've mentioned already Tranmere's academy closing, so that was a couple of years ago, I think. Now it was when Tranmere was still in the National League, certainly. And you were coaching within that system. We can bring Matt in here as well, of course, because there are so many hugely talented footballers who've come from the Wirral or just outside of the Wirral and have come through that Tranmere Academy. And it was such a sad day when it was announced that it was closing. And you've obviously opened the door through it closing, but from a point of view of Tranmere, it was a sad day.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And even if it was still open, I think I would have gone ahead with what I was doing anyway. But for me to obviously come through and the jobs that people had there, and like you said, all the talent that came through that then got sold on, it was a pretty sad day. So if it was ever to start up again in the not too distant future, I think there's only one man you would most probably look for to do a run it, because I think I've got the credentials to do something on the world, because I've got all my contacts now within that system. So if it was ever to start again, I'd most probably put my name towards that to try and help it. But if it's not to be, it's been a fantastic, obviously, memory again to look back on, because we had some great times there, and played under some great coaches as well. So, it wasn't very nice, but at the end of the day, the club has made that decision. They've done what they think's best, so that's their up to them.
You could name the players that have come through, the Clint Hills of this world, Jason Kumas, of course, Ian Hume, Alan Mahn maybe came slightly later, but then there's Urien Taylor, Max Power. There's still
Danny
plenty
Holmes.
Of them. Danny Holmes, still plenty of them. I mean, it is sad that they don't have it anymore, because we loved watching the likes of Danny come through and play first team football. And at the moment, you've got Evan Gums and Luke Pilling on the fringes. Evan's been out injured for quite a while and still will be with that cruciate knee ligament problem. But it adds a different facet to the game when you're watching a local lad do well.
It does. And, you know, you sort of, like you said before, Matt, you sort of feel like, go on, lad, you're living my dream here. And you've they'll have an affinity with the fans. Even now, you know, the likes of Danny talks about going the games if he's got a free Saturday. Max Power, if he's not playing, I know that he quite regularly gets to Prenton Park still.
I thought you were going to say quite regularly gets suspended.
Yeah, he's had a few, hasn't he? And, you know, the work that Warwick Rim had done with that academy and the players that came through, when it went, you sort of think as a Tranmere fan, well, where are we going to get our talent from? Because we haven't got all the money in the world. We relied on that sort of the breeding of the young ones coming through. So it's great that, you know, the setup that Danny's got can fill that gap potentially. Fantastic. Was it a coach, Dan, that influences how you coach, one specifically?
Yeah, it was. He doesn't really get branded about. Obviously, Warwick was a massive part of everyone that came through. But
Warwick Rimmer, that is.
Yeah, Warwick Rimmer. But Glyn Salmon, he always gets overlooked. But he brought the likes of Aaron Creswell through, me, Max, Ash Taylor, people like that. So he was always there. He took us to tournaments. He'd done all sorts for us. He's the one person, the way he acted with us. Because to be fair, if you did something wrong, he'd be on your case. But he was also one of them. He could also put his arm around you and guide you. So he played a massive part on how I think about football and the way I even coach the kids now. So yeah, if it was anyone, it would be him.
Do you, both of you, still think that there is a place for a club like Tranmere or of a similar size elsewhere in the country where you've got two big Premier League teams right on your doorstep? Is there still a place for a club like that to have an academy, given the Elite Player Performance Plan and what that makes a club do? So basically, for those who don't know, the Elite Player Performance Plan means that a Premier League club or a higher category club, I think Tranmere are Category 4 at the moment, any club can come along and basically sign your player for a minimal fee, whereas previously that fee would be negotiated. Now there is a set fee and it can be as little as, you know, 10 grand for a year, I think, in some ways. So it makes it very easy for the big clubs to hoover up all the extraordinary talent that a club like Tranmere have been producing. But also, there is no 90-minute rule anymore, whereby a club could only sign a player if he lived within a 90-minute drive, and they had to limit the number of players they had in their team. So there are a number of reasons as to why it maybe didn't work in Tranmere's favour, but do you still think there is a place for a Tranmere to run one?
Go on, mate.
I was going to say, completely on the outside looking in, I think there is, but I think one of the challenges for me would be, it seems that kids are getting signed younger and younger. And if you've got a team like Tranmere and you're a dad and you say to your lad, right, Tranmere are interested in you, but so are Everton and Man City. Now the kids' eyes are going to light up and go, Man City, they're the champions of the Premier League. Everton, that's the team I support, or Liverpool. So I don't know how attractive a Tranmere would be to a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, you know, in signing. It may be the best thing for them, obviously, because they're more likely to get game time. But I think there's definitely a need for it. Otherwise, where are we going to get, you know, obviously Danny's Academy and places like that, but professional clubs should be looking to bring homegrown talent.
Well, Tranmere aren't the only one that don't have one. Brentford certainly don't. I think they run a B team instead, or an under-23 team. And I think Crawley and Wickham are amongst the other teams who don't have one. And financially, it probably is quite a big cost for any club to run it, because they are no longer able to make the big money fees that they were by selling those players. But what are your opinions on it, Dan?
I think you definitely should have one. Obviously, with Tranmere going out the league and having to go to Cat 4, I think it was a sensible move not to have one, because he was just picking all the best players off. And I was there when it was happening at the time. So to see some of the top players that you've helped coach and all the others helped coach as a team, and then see them get just took for nothing, basically, it is quite hard. So at that point, I think it was the right decision. But I think now, moving forward, with the history and reputation Tranmere have had of bringing through players, because if you look at some of the players, like, for instance, Aaron Creswell, he was at Liverpool, got released. So for him, it was probably heartbreaking at the time. But Glyn Samnou brought him in. Obviously, he's seen the talent that he had, and he's now a Premiership footballer. So especially in this region, the talent is very, very high. So I think if Tranmere are looking to do it, I think they should do it again. But that's obviously my opinion. I don't pay the bills and stuff like that. That's up to the Palaiosas, really. So, but for me, I'm a lover of the youth system. Not because I've came through, but I think it gives the kids a dream. And obviously, Tranmere fans coming through now, and they haven't got a chance to play for Tranmere, it's probably quite a tough thing to obviously do. But that's obviously what I'm trying to do, give them that platform to come back. But for me, I think Tranmere potentially in the not too distant future should look to do it again.
And it'd be great if they did, but of course, financially, it has to make sense. Yep. So Elite Player Development, of course, is your academy. If anyone's listening and they want to get their kid involved, boy or girl, they can do.
Both, yeah.
Boy and girl, yeah. So, yeah, I offer a couple of things. Obviously do the one-to-ones, which is good for their own individual progression, but we also do group sessions. And if you've, it's quite tough for the squads because we've got, even us, we've got so much talent as well, and it was quite hard to say no to a few kids, but that's life in football. So a few of those kids have now stayed on within the group sessions, hoping to then get into the squad at a later date. So, yeah, we're offering a wide variety of stuff, and it's without me blowing my own trumpet, the coaching's top notch as well. We've got a lot of the coaches are from Tramia's Academy, so we've sort of like shifted them over in the end. But yeah, it's a top setup, to be fair.
Radio City Talk. Tramia are back in action this weekend. They've had a Saturday off, but hopefully it hasn't done them too much harm having that little bit of rest. Danny, you'll have had this throughout your career where you play on a Tuesday and everyone else plays on the Saturday and then you've got a weekend off. How does it affect you as a player? What do you do?
Absolutely hate it. Every Saturday, you just mindset game. So to not have that, it's you know, you've got a bit of a longer break, and some people go, oh, got a bit of a rest to be more fresher, but I think it goes the other way for me personally, but I think for a lot of other players as well. You want to keep ticking over, you want to keep getting minutes under your belt, you want to keep racking up the appearances. So to go a weekend without a game for me was an absolute nightmare, and I hated it.
So what do you do on your spare Saturday? Because Matty spent the weekend painting. I was away. What did you do on, if you ever had a Saturday off, if you'd been knocked out of the cup or something like that?
I was make sure I get dragged to shops by the missus, like, but it's one of them. Any weekend or day free I have now, it's come on, let's do something, because every other minute is me training or doing. When I was at Tramia especially, it was all focused about playing for Tramia. So even after training, I'd be like, I'm lying here all day now, getting rest for the next day. So I think for your partners, it is quite tough. So now I've got to get dragged to shops. So.
Yeah, but you only train for 2 hours a day if you're a footballer. That's what everyone tells us.
I know, but that's the thing. But you've got to obviously prepare. Everyone's preparing brilliantly now. They eat well, they go to the gym, they do all the extra stuff. And if you for 1 second go start walking around the shops for 10 hours or whatever, you're adding miles onto your luggage there. So it's one of them. You've got to prepare properly. So even doing the tea or something like that, I'm up and down, so I'm back on the couch. But these days, I'm doing a lot more now, so I can't do that.
I remember a similar incident when Tranmere had Ronnie Moore in charge, in that you must have had a Saturday off, and I can't remember why. Maybe it was a postponed game, or maybe it was just him giving you a couple of days off because you'd been working really hard. And I remember him coming out and saying in an interview, the players are going to have a little bit of rest, it's great, and I've told them that they are not allowed to be dragged around the shops on that day because it won't do their feet or their legs any good.
No, because if you go around the shops, that's like another potentially 3 to 4 miles that you're doing just walking, and you don't even think about it. So during that time as well, even a simple thing is hydrating yourself. You might have a coffee instead of usually at home having a bottle of water, something as stupid as that. So obviously, for me, if I'm going to become a manager, I'll have to come out with these sorts of sayings as well. But
I tell you what, it's a great excuse, though, isn't it? I can't come to the shops today. Sorry, the boss said I've got to stay on the couch. Yeah. That's super.
It is a good way to get out of it.
I'm not going to drop him in terms of his name, but I remember going to the Grand National one Saturday. Must have been the 2013-14 season or the 2014-15. I can't remember exactly which one it was. But there was a certain Tranmere player who will remain nameless who was suspended for the game that Tranmere were playing that day. And I bumped into him and I said, oh, can I do an interview with you? Because that's what we used to do at Aintree. If we saw someone famous, we'd ask them who they were backing, just ask them a couple of questions. And he went, oh, you better not. I've had a few drinks and the boss told me I'm not allowed to come. So you do sneak out. You just try and keep low profile when you do.
Yeah, it's one of them. You have got to have a life as well, haven't you? So if you do get the chance to maybe go to the race, have a couple of drinks when you're suspended, I think that's fair enough. But obviously this day and age, footballers are like that looked up to now, and they're doing anything bad, they get their hands slapped, don't they, by everyone. So it's one of them. It's quite hard because even some, I used to like enjoy a chippy after a meal, after a game, because obviously I vet so well during the week. Sometimes you just need that. Oh, I've won a game here, I'm just going to chill out a little bit. So I used to go to the chippy up in Preston. So I used to bump into loads of Tramie fans. Obviously after the game, you just get loads of stick. just for having a little treat after a game when we won a game. So it's one of them.
My friend saw John Achterberg in a chippy once, and apparently he walked in and the person behind the counter asked if he was ordering the usual. So there you go. That was when he was playing. But Les had something, Les Parry, when you were playing, didn't he? That if you won, he paid for the pizzas, yeah. And if you lost, the players paid for the pizzas.
Obviously depend on where you went as well. When we played Morecambe by the seaside, he used to get us fish and chips. I think it's obviously not enough with it. You have such a good diet that one meal's not going to make much of a difference anyway. But even if go back to Goody, I promise you now he used to eat terribly. I think he used to go to Chippy every night for like fried rice or something to go with his meal.
I've not got a problem with that.
I know. Well, he could do it, couldn't he? So if you can get away with it, why not? As long as you're performing on a Saturday, if you want to have a Chippy meal every now and again, you might as well.
I have one every Saturday anyway. It's tradition.
I know you should do.
It's what you've got to have before a game, isn't it?
Fish and chips, yeah, from
Eastern Delight.
I was going to say, yeah, there are other chippies along there, like, but yeah, Eastern Delight, yeah. Fish and chips. You can't beat them on a Saturday.
Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk.
Danny, I know you haven't seen much of them in action, but did you expect them to start how they have, given the number of new signings they've made?
Yeah, definitely, to be honest, I did, but I thought that as well when he went into League Two, but obviously I was a lot wrong there. But I think I'll go back to Norwood again. He's obviously going to be a massive, massive miss because he had such a rapport with the fans every time. Even when he used to do his sprints after his little, you know, when he used to shake hands and that, you could see the fans obviously getting G'd up because you knew potentially he was going to score a goal. So obviously to miss that, and to be fair, it's been a bit of an influx with players as well. More players have came in where they had a solid core going into League Two. So I knew it was going to be obviously a massive step up for them because we've played League One before, but I think the big massive turnover and losing such a vital player for the squad, it was always going to be tough.
Are you confident they will come good?
I think we'll survive. I think if we finish mid-table, Matt, I think that's a brilliant achievement.
Yeah, I think it's a massive achievement.
I'd snap your hand off. I don't think it's going to be plain sailing at all. I think we might be in a bit of a fight. Not to the last day, I hope, but I don't think it's going to be an easy season. You know, like Danny said, you lose goals, 30 goals a season at any level. It's really difficult to get that back in some form. And I think I've spoke to you in the past, Matt, and I said I think one of the issues we're going to have this season is goals, because the strikers that we've brought in are not proven goal scorers by any stretch.
At this level,
yeah. But neither was Norwood at League Two, so there is always the hope that one of these will come good and show that potential. But I think it'll be a difficult season, myself.
I think they will come good. And you've just got to give them time. You've got to be a bit patient with them, haven't you? Yeah, and I think there's more leeway this year because, let's be honest, there's only two relegation places. There's no way Bolton are staying up unless something absolutely miraculous happens there. They might not even finish the season. We already know that Bury have gone. So there's only two relegation places. So that gives you a bit more leeway. It means the barrier or the boundary of how many points that you need to be safe is lower as well. So I'm confident they will come good. There's a lot of players bedding in. There's a lot of talent there who, hopefully, once they have gelled, will prove to be very shrewd signings. But from your point of view, when you've played in a team and you've been in that team for a couple of years and then you have a summer where six or seven new players or more come in, how long does it take to gel?
Well, it depends. I think, obviously, being a Northern lad, I've said this before, I had a good chat about it the other week. Sometimes if someone's coming in, say for instance James Wallace, who's from Liverpool, you sort of know what characteristics they've got. It's easier to gel with someone like that. And I think at the time when we went down Tranmere, we had, no disrespect to him, but the Southern lads, there's quite a lot of Southern lads there. I got on well with everyone, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to football, sometimes it's a completely different game. So when you're going into a game, sometimes I personally think Northern lads are mentally more stronger when the backs are against the wall, where I think Southern lads are more, I think they're most probably technically better, but when the backs are against the wall, the going gets a little bit tough for them. And I think at that time that's what happened with Tranmere. But it's one of them. I think it doesn't matter if you do come from the north or south in this instance, but if there's that many players with a turnover, I think it is going to take time to gel. So it's one of them, especially with Tram, you getting into League One, massive achievements, and making, even if the worst was to happen, he did get relegated, he should be there anyway. He should be there for a long time in my eyes. So as long as they survive, I think it's a massive achievement for them, and they can really build and hopefully get even more better players.
It's an interesting theory you've got there. So I'm just looking at the 2014-15 squad, and believe me, it takes quite a long time to look through all of them, because you had about 50 players that season. Yeah. But you're right, there aren't that many who you would class as first-team regulars who were local lads. Max Power's one of them. There's yourself in there as well, although you had a few injuries. Jason Kumas, who the manager didn't use enough in many people's opinion. You've got Steve Jennings as well. Michael Ahekwe, who was a young lad coming through, who's from Liverpool. So there were a handful of you, but not a great deal. This year, the likes of Ollie Banks, Scott Davis, Connor Jennings, Manny Month are still there, obviously, from the year before, and plenty more on top of that. And then you look at the lads who've come in, and you've got Callum Woods, who's a local lad. Of course, Darren Potter's a local lad. George Ray isn't from far away as well, so maybe that's a way they've tried to sign players.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the fans as well. If you sort of know how the fans work as well, because I think they're more passionate up north as well, in my opinion. So Tramier fans expect a lot, which they should do, because Tramier are a big club. So when they come into that environment, they need to be on blob, really. So it's one of the, like, especially going back to when I was playing at that tough time, played with over 50 players in one season. So you're not going to gel with anyone, really, only the players that are playing. And I remember, I think you spoke to Steve Jennings, Matt, one time, and he said there was only two to three, four players that really cared. I totally agreed with him. I couldn't disagree with anything that he said on that chat that you had with him. So I think what I've said there has backed it up, really.
Were there times when you walked on the pitch and you looked at someone and went, what's his name again?
No, it wasn't that bad. Like, but sometimes it's quite ruthless, football. You do look after number one, and I think you've got to do that, because if everyone looked after themselves and performed well, then the whole team would perform better. If everyone's individual performance was good, and then some games you knew was going to be a tough game. So when you're looking around, you need to look for players that, you know, he's going to be there for you if you're having a tough game, or even if he's having a bad game, you're going to be there for him. And especially at that time, we had that many players. It was a horrible feeling going out sometimes, thinking, you know what, we'll do well to even scrape a draw here, because that's just your natural instinct as a human being. If you're going out there playing against the top team, you want to have 10 other lads with you that are going to back it up and give everything for the cause. And I think at that time, there's nowhere near enough players that were doing that.